just a leaf, not just a...
Good Monday. Oh, sorry, it's Thursday. It feels like Monday. Good Thursday morning. Brady Bowman with you here on In Focus, here with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at KSU and Assistant Director of the K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy. Here just a little after 9:30, we'll have Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council and former 1st Infantry Division Commanding General Perry Wiggins will be on the show. And Tim, over the break, we were just kind of talking about some things we can kind of go over here a little bit. And, you know, when we're talking about what the K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy and just a lot of the things that they do and you do and go over, and, you know, there's division.
Yeah.
There's division. It's no secret that there's a lot of division in the country right now. You know, even with the 4th of July celebration, sometimes you'll see some, you know, stuff on social media where people are just like, you know, I just don't... I'm feeling kind of down on where things are headed. I'm not feeling very celebratory about America right now.
Yeah.
And when we look at those sort of things, and like civility is all of a sudden a big thing now. That's kind of a hot trending topic when we're talking about politics, especially with the Red Hen incident with Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting basically denied service at a restaurant by a restaurant owner saying, you know, I just don't agree with you. I prefer not to serve you, which of course is ironic considering that when you think about the religious freedom bill, or was it a bill? It wasn't a bill necessarily. It was it was a Supreme Court decision.
You're talking about the case before the Supreme Court about the, you know, the freedom to it was a freedom of religion kind of question, but you know, whether or not that one's deeply held beliefs and views could determine whether or not they you know, in that case, baked a cake.
Right.
For a same-sex couple.
Which the Trump administration, really the GOP overall, is fully in support of. So is, you know, I think a lot of people found it pretty interesting when they started, you know, crying foul when it kind of bit back at them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And again, like when we're talking about civility, it's so hard to pin down right now, right?
Well,
it's
I mean, things are...
You have a hard job right now.
Yeah, Tim. Well, you know, it's one of those things that truly since the election, that one of these realizations that these themes, these concerns were going to keep not even just reemerging, but staying at the fore. So in one sense, it's kind of nice, right, that the things that you say are important are in the headlines and being talked about, and at the same time realizing the ramifications of that things are pretty challenged, right? There's an international report. There's an organization called Varieties of Democracy, VDIM, that the Washington Post reported about a few days ago. They it does data collection going back from 1900 to last year around the world, every country, tracking different forms, models of democracy, and one of the recent reports off of that data set pointed to basically a third of countries are failing democracy, right? I mean, and these are really significant challenges. So it's not just here in the United States, but it's elsewhere. Poland right now is having a catastrophe is probably the understatement, right? Basically, the entire judicial body, the Supreme Court, which they have more members of, were either basically forced out to early retirement. Now there's this; they're you know, standing up against it. And so, yeah, we're seeing some really dramatic things around the globe. But yeah, so in the back of this is this question, and one of the critiques of this idea of civility is like, all right, is this really the time for us to be, you know, nice to one another, to talk it out when we've, you know, in Poland, you've got that going on. In the United States, we have all these incidents that people are, I think, in many cases, rightfully protesting rather than and saying we need to talk about it. But then the other side of me says, even if you vehemently disagree with someone or a policy or a position, we need to find some way to have a conversation to begin, not only to understand the other person or the other view of like why this particular act, whatever it might be, is being seen as legitimate, but then figure out how do you navigate some of this out of this, because You know, it's the kind of tit, in some ways, a tit for tat that is just, I think, unhelpful. But, you know, in the same breath, I need to say that, you know, for people who have strongly held views, the notion of protest and more explicit kind of direct action is an important thing. And as we celebrate, you know, back to the July 4th thing, right, as we celebrate the idea of this country, all of these are part and parcel to who we are, what we do, how we articulate our concerns and views. And it's not always through niceties. It's not always through sitting down at a table for conversation. Sometimes people aren't allowed to sit at the table, so they have to figure out how do we make some space for ourselves or for others. And that's all part of this. That's all part of the American story. And I appreciate that. And I often think about all of these sometimes conflicting elements and views that comprise who and what we are.
Sometimes you got to throw a little tea in the harbor, right?
Well, I mean,
July 14th.
Yeah, there are these moments when we have, I don't know, an important role to remember the complex and kind of nuanced aspects of who we are as a country.
I think we got a phone call. Let's go ahead and take it. Good morning, caller. You're on In Focus.
You always put on a wonderful discussion, and I appreciate it. But how do we deal with those people that always seem to be in charge, and they are diagnosed as the leadership of businesses are psychotics? And how do you deal with the rest of the people out here on the street that are the mentally ill, that all these negotiation techniques are not going to work with them? Thank you so much for expanding our horizons.
Yeah, no, thanks. If I can just jump in there quickly, you know, this actually points to one of the examples that I often use in when I'm teaching about this, about the idea of democracy and small groups and how you kind of democratize conversations and workplaces and all these spaces. And there's this notion of guardianship that, you know, sometimes people, whether it's kids or those who have mental incapacities or whatever it might be, if they don't have the ability to kind of speak for themselves, you know, how do we ensure have a trustee kind of model, right? Somebody else to advocate for. And I think there are appropriate ways to do that. At the same time, to make sure that we're not kind of categorizing an opposing view or an oppositional view as, you know, that's not worth being at the table. It's really only the people who think in these ways or more like me. And so those are some of the tensions that I think emerge when we're trying to think of, like, how do you have a more kind of explicit conversation? I mean, to the caller's first point, I think, too, though, is the frustration, which is why we see globally, you know, a lot of movements, whether you agree with them or not, of a populist sentiment, the frustration with institutions, with government, across political divides, left and right, you can have these populist kind of bents. And I think that has long been emerging. We can think back to, you know, the Occupy movement and Tea Party and some of the more contemporary forms of organization, that it's, you know, there's a calling out in many ways of the system that is very frustrating and marginalizing for a lot of people. And so, you know, like I said earlier, sometimes you camp out in a park, right, and protest a system that you find corrupt, or you take other really explicit, sometimes significant action, and you got to do that. And then the other side of this, or if there are many sides, but is all right, so how do we actually navigate a path rather than you just say, I'm frustrated with the system and I'm going to stand outside of your business or whatever it might be, and how do we do something else?
Thanks again for that call. And you know, especially this year, I think we were talking during one of the breaks that it'll be August before we know it, and it'll be, you know, October before. I mean, we're going to be right into the heat of midterms
here coming.
In a little bit. And it was going to be a heated midterms anyway. Now you throw in the fact that there needs to be another Supreme Court justice, and, you know, there's all that discussion on when Congress should approve one, because if you cite back when Obama nominated one, they wouldn't even hold a hearing for him,
Garland.
Merrick Garland, just because an election was coming up. Now all of a sudden that's kind of coming around back at them in a way. be like, well, we got another election coming up. Should we let the people decide like you wanted us to decide then? It's going to be a heated one.
Yeah. I mean, the Supreme Court is a big question, you know, with lots of implications. There's also just the idea, particularly on the left, you know, for the Democrats, thinking that you know, there's a possibility of taking over maybe a House, probably two is rather a generous assessment of Congress, right? And so we're in the thick of against a backdrop of really contentious politics, very polarized, and you know, coming into a midterm election cycle that is got some serious ramifications for a whole host of things. The investigation, going back to the 2016 election, right? All these things. Right. I mean, there sometimes we almost forget about that because it's not on the front page as much. But you know, there are significant things that are happening that you know, people need to be attuned to and aware that, you know, I always say it, voting is really matters, right? But it seems like it's going to be more so, and I think the political parties recognize that this time around.
It's going to be a crazy one.
Yeah.
You'll be with us on that night, won't you?
If you would like me to, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Put you on the spot like that. Hey, we haven't really talked about it.
No, that's good. I appreciate you doing that on air.
Yeah. Anytime. We'll have further discussions.
Well, yeah,
I won't put you solid right now.
We'll talk.
We'll put you as a maybe.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Timothy Schaefer with the K-State Institute of Civil Discourse and Democracy. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll have Perry Wiggins, Governor's Military Council, on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.